אנחנו קוראים בספר זוהר לעם, הקדמת ספר.
Reading from Zohar for All, Introduction to the Book of Zohar, the Fifth Commandment, item 217. You can ask questions at Kav.TV. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. What we want to achieve. Well, now we have an opportunity. We are next to the top, or a water fountain, or a water source, doesn't matter how you call it. And if we will be adjusted to the qualities of this water line, then we will receive from it the light of life, the force of life. In order to connect, we have to be together so that we won't have one, two, another, 10, 50, 100. Rather, we should all be as one. So let us think about being as one. This is more important while we're reading the Zohar than what he writes, because then when we will connect, we will understand what we're talking about. Go ahead. So we're in item 217. Those who engage in Torah and extend the holy nefesh, even though their matter is from earth, it is inverted into being as that of the angels above. And their doing precedes their hearing. In other words, they perform the Creator's commandment in full before they attain what they are doing. Since they, too, follow the Creator like a shadow follows a person. It is just as when the wind sends dust into a person's eyes, he quickly closes his eyelids before his thoughts senses it. By that you find that his doing, which is the shutting of his eyes, always precedes the perception of the approaching dust in thought. This is why it was said that those who engage in Torah are called his angels in the earth. Even though they are on the earth, their body becomes as the angels above, and their doing precedes their hearing. They do not feel with their brain in order to do the Creator's commandment to the fullest, but perform the commandment in the full before they can sense in their thoughts what they are doing. It is like the shutting of the eyelids, which precedes the perception in thought. This is why they are regarded as angels in the earth.
Meaning they make an action rather than a decision. Clear, Niv?
Yes.
You sure? Read it again.
This is why it was said that those who engage in Torah are called his angels in the earth. Even though they are on earth, their body becomes as that of the angels above, and their doing precedes their hearing. They do not feel with their brain in order to do the Creator's commandment to the fullest, but perform the commandment in full before they can sense in their thought that they are doing. It is like the shutting of the eyelids, which precedes the perception in the thought. This is why they are regarded as angels in the earth.
Is that a good degree or not? Does that have to happen or not? We have to reach it or not? What are you doing this or that to me?
I don't know.
When you make an action without a thought, what?
It is necessitated.
It has to happen. Why? It is mindless. What can it be good for?
It's a face before consciousness.
Meaning, first we have to reach that, a state where the upper light allows me to make the action, and I do it forcefully. It doesn't matter whether I like it or not. But the light has to give me strength, desire to make the action. Then, from your actions, we know you, meaning I'll conclude the meaning of that action by making the action, and then I'll rise to the level of the mind of it. And then what? I'll know how to open my eyelids? What? What do you think? What comes next? What will it give me if I know and understand and feel all the Creator's actions in my mind? What? To inspect Him, to agree with Him or not, to test Him? Why do I need it for? Don't hold the microphone there.
Perhaps habit becomes a second nature. So first I do the actions and then the emotion joins along to the game.
There's no such thing that making more and more actions will become... what's habit becomes a second nature? In terms of the light that works in any case. Without the light, nothing moves. So explain it from this perspective. What do you mean by habit becomes a second nature?
I try to resemble,
the more I make actions, even though they have no intention, I still draw the light and then I evolve. Okay. So?
But again, it works the same way in this world also.
What, you think this world exists without spiritual light?
So why is it the fifth degree? Why is it called the fifth commandment where we are now? It sounds it should be before.
Let's finish reading this and then we'll see. For now, let's continue. The Creator
is destined to make wings for them as eagles to roam throughout the world.
Meaning to these angels, the people, the actions that we make blindly, so to speak.
This is so because as long as one has not been rewarded with a holy nefesh, the Sitra Achra governs him. As it is written, and the lives of your enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of a sling. They walk and roam the world, but find no place to rest and become attached to. They are defiled in the impure side, since he did not enter the Kedusha and was not included in it. Commentary. It is impossible to cling to the Creator and keep his mitzvot properly before one believes in the names of the Creator, that he is good and does good to all, that he is merciful and gracious. Those who have not been rewarded with a nefesh of Kedusha are still governed by the Sitra Achra. Hence, they go and roam the world and cannot find a place to rest. When their thoughts roam the world and they see the Creator's guidance in people, they believe it is not as good as it should be.
I see you're all angels that way, huh? Right or not, Niv?
Why?
What do they think? They think the guidance is not that great. I walk around the world, I watch the news and see what? That the world is full of suffering. And some things I'm sorry about, some things I'm happy about, right? So, okay, so it's about me. And then what?
Judging by his holy names, thus they blemish the holy names and find no place to rest where they can believe in the names of the Creator to connect to him. For this reason, they are defiled in the side of tum'ah, impurity, meaning they come to deny the Creator,
the good that does good.
All that is because he did not enter the Kedusha and was not included in her, since he was not rewarded with the nefesh of Kedusha and does not take actions to be included in Kedusha. However, those who engage in Torah and extend a holy nefesh, their body turns to be as angels, and they are rewarded with preceding hearing to doing, as they do. This is why it is written about them, and let fowl fly above the earth, meaning that the Creator will make wings for them like eagles, and they will roam throughout the world, as they roam in their thoughts throughout the world, and see the Creator's guidance.
But certainly it's impossible to reach that degree without undergoing all the previous discernments. There's no righteous in the land who did good without committing a sin. It all depends on the pace, how fast we advance to the final state.
And yet, not only are they not failing to the side of Tum'ah, they even receive strength through a Zman and always increase their power. And those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. For thus they mount up wings like eagles to roam in all the people's incidents. Also, they always regain strength and raise man throughout the power of their faith in the Creator's uniqueness and always extend the spirit of Kedusha from above.
The unity of the Creator can be aimed for and attained only on the condition that they unite below. Otherwise, there's no direction or a goal of unity. It's all false. That the Creator's unity or uniqueness is only attained through the unity among the friends.
218. It was written, and let fowl fly above the earth, since the Torah, which is called water, will swarm and produce swarms of living souls from the place of that animal, Malchut. They will draw it below. David said about it, make for me a pure heart, O God, to engage in Torah, and renew a steadfast spirit with me. The text explains, let fowl fly above the earth, and says that water is Torah. Swarm means that they should produce a living nefesh, soul, from the place of the animal, Malchut. They will draw this nefesh below from upper Nukva, who is called Chaya, into this world. David said about it, make for me a pure heart, O God, asking that he would give him a pure heart to engage in Torah and to raise man. Then, renew a steadfast spirit within me, and then he can extend the right spirit and can cleave unto him.
Questions? We had a few people here before, no? Who? Okay, yes, Owen.
It's talking about it seems opposite to mind and heart, certain feelings. In the spiritual world, seems act precedes feelings. Precise perception in the thought.
It seems strange to him that there is a gap between that the actions precede the thoughts, and then he cannot understand the connection between the heart and the mind. This is what he's asking.
He's right. It doesn't exist in our world. Because in our world, I can make an action only on the condition that it's for my own benefit. That I've tested and checked and saw that for the time being I see that it's good for me. What happens with it later, maybe I'll see that it's wrong or not wrong, and maybe I'll be sorry for it, as it happens many times in life. But now I see that it's good for me. It gives me pleasure. And then I make an action without seeing that I'll get some benefit from it. I can't do it. I don't have any fuel to do the action. So far, so it's clear, right?
So this is a faith above reason?
No, what I described is called faith within reason. That I just follow my mind, my decisions. Now, how do I raise myself to a state where I can make actions? Even if they're not for my own benefit. Say for the benefit of others or the Creator. Where will I take the fuel, the benefit? If the other is a friend of mine, a relative, a child, someone close, then it's like it is to myself. To the extent that it's close to me, it's like I'm doing it to myself and filling out myself. Sometimes I can be very excited towards, I don't know, say Niv. He's a good kid, and I give him something. Why? Say I felt a certain love towards him at a certain moment. So that means that he is in me as I relate to myself. And then I give to him sometimes more, sometimes less, sometimes nothing. So a person can't really go out of himself in any way. He's a will to receive. Even when he gives, he has to make the calculation that he receives more from it. That's how we make all our actions. The question now is, how can I make an action which is without a thought? Without a thought. I simply give, and then I think, or I don't even think at all. That is the upper force. That some spirit dresses into me, and then I make a totally different calculation. The giving itself, the action itself, is a great action. How is it great or small? What makes it more or less sublime? Because it makes me similar to the Creator. And that is why I want to work that way. That is why I want to give. Why? Because He gives. I don't even know what it means to give. We don't know what it means to give. Anytime we give something, do something, we receive. Even when I give something to someone, that's obvious. I imagine the benefit that I'm going to get, and otherwise I wouldn't even spread out my hand. So how do we make an action without a thought? That's the question. Is it possible? What's the benefit of such an action which is totally without a thought? The use of that is that I always ask of the Creator to raise me to this kind of action. Because I want to be in giving, with my calculation, without it, in favor or against, doesn't matter. I truly want to give. And still, now if you ask me, I don't know what it means to give. I never gave. I was always able to make the action of taking, not actually giving. Now I want to make this type of action and feel what it is. So now imagine, how can I give? I can't. I don't even know what it is to what it means to give. What will I give? How's it like? I don't know. So no thoughts, no calculations, nothing, because it all comes from my ego. Only the action. Give me the opportunity to do it and taste it. What is it? That something leaves you, that you lose something.
This relate to the attainment. What's attainment? What attainment you talk is about the balance between the mind and the feelings.
And how does it relate attainment? Because you were talking about attainment as
it's attainment. It's an attainment already. The attainment of the nature of the Creator. By your actions, we know you. I make actions. I want to make actions as He does, to give, and as a result, to feel how the giver feels. Meaning, more accurately, you can say, no, the Creator feels this or that, how do I know? It was felt by a will to receive that is now making an action above itself called an action of giving. Right, but I have no choice, no other choice, that's my nature. However, I'm promised to really be similar to Him. Not to be really like Him, but to feel and understand and learn what the Creator is. And the whole of the wisdom of Kabbalah this teaches us about godliness. What is the nature of godliness? That's what we learn. How? On ourselves. Every time we dress into it, we learn. You can't study the Creator without it, Him dressing in the creature. So, bit by bit, I take on His qualities, and I study His qualities in comparison to mine. I always study one from the other.
The sons, we cancel the old souls and build the new souls by the attainment. We cancel the old thoughts, oh man, the reason.
We cancel the previous thoughts or the previous mind of a person, and on top of it, we build a new mind and thought.
No, we don't cancel anything. On the contrary, the more I study the nature of the Creator, I study it in, thanks to becoming more and more egoist. I become more and more myself, who I am. Otherwise, I won't be able to study Him. The Pharaoh in me always grows against the Creator. My preliminary first nature, my ego, doesn't disappear. On the contrary, it grows. And on top of it, I learn. Otherwise, there's no way. Light and darkness must always support each other. Because I'm a created being, I must attain the reality from within myself. In comparison between these two realities, these two forces, that's always where I attain the science, the wisdom, my eternity. That's where it exists. The wild animal grows in me against the Creator, always equally, in equal measure. So, in short, that's what we need to understand from this. That coming to a state where I give without thinking is a truly lofty, high degree. Just imagine how happy would you be to make that action and taste it. What is such a thing? It's not even from this world. It doesn't exist in any creature, that ability. Let's move on to the next part.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.